I tell you, I love both of those songs. I appreciate them singing this morning. What a blessing it is to my heart, encouragement. And I appreciate it so very, very much. And thank God. There are those today who deny there's a God, but you let them get in deep trouble or something bad happen. First thing they'll do is say, Lord, help me. Amen. They know better. They just don't want to admit it. If they ever admit it, then they have to admit they're accountable to him. And then if they admit they're accountable to him, then they're going to have to do something about their lives, and they get in a mess. So we're either let God straighten out their mess, one or the other. And I appreciate the singing. God bless you. Appreciate the choir. Appreciate the special. And it's just good to be back in the house of God. All right. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 20. John chapter number 20. John chapter 20, verse number 30 and 31. Let's stand, please, while we read the Word of God. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. He said many things were written, but these are written that you might believe and that you might have life through his name. Keep your Bibles open in John's Gospel, and we'll turn another place and read some scripture in a minute, but let's bow our heads right now and go to God in prayer and ask God to help us. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for the privilege that we have to be in the house of God today. What a joy to our heart just to be able to come, stand in this place. And I pray in Jesus' name, you take the singing of the songs and everything's been done here this morning. I pray, speak to hearts and deal with lives. And then, Father, as we come, we ask you to help those that's been in bereavement, those who are in sickness, and those who are going through battles in their lives. Situations are hard, difficult. But, Father, I pray for the grace of God to abound in all of our lives and help us and encourage and strengthen. Then, Lord, today, you know who's here. You know exactly what the situations are. You know every heart that's discouraged. You know everyone that's unsaved. You know what we need, especially here this morning. As we sit together in this place, I pray the power of the Holy Spirit would work in our heart, illuminate our mind, help us to think, help us be able to say what we need to say, and work, and we'll thank you and praise you in all that you do. We plead Jesus, plead the blood. In his precious name, we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want you to turn with me, please, in John chapter number 2. John chapter number 2. We'll be using that scripture mainly this morning, but I want to read the other two as a springboard for what we're going to say. In John's gospel, you'll find seven miracles that really portray salvation. And the first three show the way of salvation or how of salvation. And then the last three show the results of salvation, what happens. But right in the middle of them is John chapter 6 and verses 1 through 14 talking about the feeding of the 5,000. And did you know that Jesus could just as easily have had those 5,000 men sit down? They said it was a grassy place. Had the men to sit down, 5,000. And then the little boy had two fishes and his five loaves of barley bread and brought them to Jesus. And Jesus blessed them and broke them and gave to the disciples to give to them. And the disciples took it to them. Did you know it had been just as easy for Jesus take that bread, those fish, or yet not have anything? He spoke everything in existence anyway. And he could have let them sit down and let there appear fish and bread in their laps. And they would have had it. But God chose that he might use man to carry what the other man needs to him. It's our responsibility, as disciples' responsibility, to take the bread and the fish to those people that were sitting there. And they were waiting for food. They were hungry. They'd been there many days and they needed help. And Jesus used those men that they might carry it to them. Aren't you glad God gives us an opportunity to carry the bread of life unto others? I'm glad, thank God, he tells us how to be saved, tells us the results of being saved, but it tells us we have a great responsibility to share it, but not only share it, but we have a privilege to share it, not just responsibility. I count it a joy and a privilege to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in John chapter 2, and we're going to start those first three miracles that tell how to be saved. Now, don't get worried. I'm not going to preach all seven of these miracles today. And fact is, I'll just get probably the first one, and that will. I'll probably have to call a time right then, but I want you to hang with me. I want you to see what's going on here. In John chapter 2, verse 1, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they had no wine. Now let me stop here just a minute and reading this just to talk about wine for a minute. And the Bible in Greek has different words for the word wine. And it depends on how the context is. Usually you can tell by the context whether he's talking about fermenting wine or not fermenting wine. I want to make this statement. I want to make it very emphatically. There are no contradictions in the Word of God. And if God said it was wrong, it's wrong. And in Proverbs chapter 23, I believe it is, he talks about not look, verse 31. It says, not look upon the wine when it is red, move itself aright in the cup. He said not to look on it. If God said not to look on it, then it didn't mean for you to drink it. When it's fermenting and moving itself aright in the cup means fermentation. And so he wouldn't say in Proverbs, don't drink it or look on it, and then say in John that he went ahead and made it for him to drink. I believe it's good old grape juice myself. Amen. And they called grape juice wine in that day. It's translated that way in the Word of God. And so God never contradicts himself. And I just want to get that said. And talking about wine, I was in the waiting, not in the waiting room, but a holding room getting ready for surgery. And they had this bag hooked up to me, and I couldn't see it. I knew they stuck me with a needle, but I didn't know what was going on. And they had something in that stuff. I don't know what it was. But I was laying there, and I was trying to talk to some people. And Melanie Pruitt come in, and she just stuck her hand and say hello to me and tell me she's praying for me. And I thought Errol was my daughter, and I tried to introduce her to Errol as my daughter. Got straightened out of that, and I said, no, that's Errol. That's my granddaughter. I said, have you ever met her? Melanie said there's nothing worse than a drunk preacher. So I don't like that kind of being out of it, amen. I know what's going on and who I am and who you are. And that sure does help things. But this wine we're talking about and today, there's a whole lot of argument about that and fermented or unfermented, but you remember this, Jesus Christ always did what was right. And so they drank wine, they called it wine, but it's grape juice. In that day, like we drink Coca-Colas or Pepsis or soft drinks today or tea or whatever it is that you are used to drinking and nothing wrong with that. And so they drank grape juice the same way, and that word's translated wine. And so here he is, and we'll come back to this in a little bit. I want to read this whole passage and then come back to it. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Now I want to stop there to make this comment. When Jesus said woman, it was not disrespectful. It was a custom of that day as they referred to someone to say that. And so he didn't call her mother at that time. He just said woman. And because she had to be saved like everybody else had to be saved. And so he said, woman, What have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And that's a good message right there in itself. Whatever he saith unto thee, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. And that's about 9 gallons, one of them. So it'd been between 18 and 27 gallons each one of those held. That's a pretty good size pot. And after the manner, verse 7, Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they fill them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants knew, which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, and that well drunk, he didn't say when they are drunk, he said when they have well drunk. You can well drink water, you can well drink out of tea, whatever. And he said, then they, which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of the miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifest forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. And we're going to stop reading there in that portion of the first miracle that we're going to talk about. And one of the signs or the miracles of tells us how to be saved. And I somehow God just began to work in my heart about this as I thought about it, and was, of course, anxious to get back in the pulpit and preach. But I thought about preaching and thought about the Word of God, thought about things here that God, I think God put in this Word that will help all of us. And first thing we're talking about here is salvation by the Word. I'm glad for the written Word of God. Amen. I'm glad for the incarnate Word of God. Amen. And I'm glad for the spoken Word of God. Yes. And of course, the spoken Word of God and the written Word of God ties together. And the Word of God says in the Old Testament, God said, that word which I've sent forth shall not return to me void, but will accomplish that whereinto that I send it. And so if I get the message from the Word of God, I get God's will on it, and I preach it, it will not return void. It will do whatever God wanted it to do in that particular time or service or wherever that I am in preaching that word. That incarnate word you'll find in verse 1 of this chapter 2 in the third day speaks of resurrection, and there's no salvation without the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And he is the incarnate word. It's a living word. And we have the Word of God written here today. And I'm glad I can know I'm saved by the written Word of God. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This word lives, is alive, and abides forever. And so the Word is so important to us. And think about Titus 1:2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. If God promised us that eternal life before he ever even created the world, and tells us about it, and tells us that we're born again of that incorruptible word, then this word's important in salvation. Fact is, you need the Word of God. That's why we try to send Bibles. That's why we try to get the Word of God and tracts and Bibles into people's hands, because the Word of God is necessary to bring salvation, being born in the family of God. People have all kinds of ideas about how to be saved, but what thus saith the Lord is what is really important. And if we get what thus saith God, then we'll get something that we need to help us in knowing how to be saved. And these folk here today that need to know how to be saved, and let God save them by his marvelous grace and his mercy unto them. And so we're talking about this. Now this incarnate word, if you just flip back in chapter 1 of John, in the beginning was the Word, that's verse 1, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so praise God for the incarnate Word. And then this written word tells us about the incarnate Word. and gives us then that he's the virgin-born Son of God, came, died on the cross of Calvary for our sin, took our place, was buried, and rose again the third day. That's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to give you two things. Most messages I have 3 points. I got 2 today. You can tell I've been sick. Amen. I got 2 today. Number one, the problem. I want you to look with me, please, in verse number 3. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. They have no wine. Here's a problem. They were in a marriage feast, and that was a big occasion. Well, it is today too, but it wasn't that day, a great social event. And they ran out of the wine, and so they had no wine, and Jesus came, and Jesus' mother came and said, they have no wine. Oh, I want to do a little imagination work right here, and I think it's true, and that there's many people that are trying to other wines and trying to satisfy that hunger, drink, that thirst in their soul, and they're missing it. There are those who are trying drugs. There are those who are trying real intoxicated fermented wine. There are those who are trying perverted sex. There are those who are trying everything else that is the give the world has to offer, but never find any real satisfaction. They run out of wine. There is pleasure in sin for a season, but that season will soon run out. And when it runs out, then there you are in worse shape than you were when you started and trying to find something to satisfy. Amen. People that have tried making riches and trying, if I just get successful in money and I can just be successful in this or be known or be a great football player or get a great amount of money, then I'll really have it made. Did you know there's multitudes of millionaires that commit suicide? And many of a ball player that made a lot of millions of dollars and wound up somewhere out there and needed help because they couldn't handle it. Hey, there's not but very many people that can really handle money anyhow. That's why God, most of us, he gives us enough to live on, takes care of us, and lets us handle it that way. But I'm telling you today that the world paints pretty pictures and makes things look so good, and then comes right down to it, it runs out. And you have no satisfaction that's real. And I say to you today, I'm glad I've got something real on the inside. And I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. And it satisfies the thirst into my soul for eternal life. I have eternal life. And so that's satisfied. Jesus told the woman at the well, you take a drink of water I've got, and you'll never thirst again. And she said, Lord, evermore give me this water. And she thought he was drinking water, you know. But he said, I'm talking about the water of life. I'm talking about something that is really better than drinking water. Hey, you can thirst to death on physical water, but you get this eternal water, you'll never thirst again. Amen. It gives everlasting satisfaction. Now, I realize I'm not saying to you today that you get saved and everything's going to be roses. Everything's going to be just right. And you just watch along and hoop it up all the time. There'll be times you'll be laying in bed grunting and groaning and moaning. There'll be times you'll wonder what's going on. There'll be times things happen in families, times that things happen in the church or out in the workforce or out in whatever it is we have problems with. But I'm glad, thank God, there's somebody to help us. We have somebody by our side to help us. And I praise God for it. That doctor told me it'd be better that I walk a little bit instead of standing still in the pulpit, and said you probably do anyway. I think they began to figure out a little bit about me. So anyway, I'm trying to do what I'm just obeying the doctor and preaching this morning. Amen. It's better than standing still. Can't stand still too long, but I can walk a little bit. I'm telling you today, I'd rather have something to walk about, something to talk about that's real than have something artificial that doesn't satisfy. Now, let me say to you that are saved, there's times that you get in a place where you get down and you get discouraged, and I do, and we all do, and we're not satisfied with that, what we got. We need to understand, go back to where we got saved. Go back to see what God has done for us. Hey, glory to God. I'm glad God saved me one day. I'm glad God let me have eternal life. I'm glad one day I wasn't just a church member, but I became a saved, born-again person. I am thankful that it was real to me to be saved and born in the family of God. I say hallelujah. And praise God. If you don't know the joy of really being saved, And I challenge you today that you think about this thing. It's a problem, but it can be solved today. That problem can be solved. By the way, I want to plug this in while I'm on it. Brother Thacker prayed. I noticed he prayed and mentioned that. And I noticed on the news something about Israel and Iran and all that stuff's going on. And people's wondering what's going to happen, how it's going to wind up, and what's going to be the next step. Jesus is going to come and take us out of here. That's the next thing on his calendar. Amen. I don't know how many wars will be fought. I don't know how many things will happen. But I'm just saying that to say this. It's imperative that you know that you're saved. It's a problem if you're not saved. Because when Jesus comes after the saved, the church, he's only coming after people that have been born again, saved by the grace of God. And born in the family of God. You say, preacher, I'm a good person. I belong to the church or a church. Or I've been ducked under the water. I've been sprinkled on the head. I've been done this. I've been done that. None of that counts. It's whether or not you have repented and trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. That's the only way to be saved. Amen? Well, let me give you the second thing. That's the first one. We got a problem. Said we have no wine, but hallelujah. I like the response to this, and I like the picture that's given to us here. After she said that, Jesus said to her, woman, what if I do the thing? My time's not yet come. Now, she knew who he was, and she knew he was virgin born. She knew he was the Son of God. And then as the mother was leaving out, I believe she was walking out of the room, she looked at the servant and said, whatever he says, do, just do it. If it sounds like it's crazy, do it anyway. If it sounds like it won't work, don't worry about it. Do it. I say to us today, it'd be good if we just take a word of God and do it. James 1:22 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And so here she said to them, do it. And so here is where I really wanted to get to this morning. You said, preacher, I thought you'd been getting there all the time. I've been trying to go somewhere, amen, get somewhere with this thing. Verse number 6. And there were there, set there, 6 water pots of stone. Now those 6 is man's number, and 7 is the number of perfection. 6 is one less than that. Man never can reach perfection in his own right. And said there were 6 water pots of stone. That's hard-heartedness. That's not any flesh to it. It's just stone. It's hard-hearted. And you reject the gospel long enough, your heart becomes hard and cold and unmovable. But here's those 6 stone water pots, and they were sitting there, and they were empty. Didn't have anything in them. And so there they are, and they nothing in that. The servants could look at them and say, we can't get anything out of them. They're empty, and what are we going to do? There's no wine in them, no wine anywhere around here. What are we going to do? And then they remembered what Mary had said to them, do whatever he says. And then Jesus, verse number 7, said unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them to the brim. Hallelujah. I love it. If you haven't got it yet, you'll get it in a minute. Water, filled water speaks of the word. Running water speaks of the Holy Ghost. But here he said, fill those water pots with water. I can see those servants look at them now and think, well, we put water in, we'll just have water. And so what good is that going to do us? One of those certain parts scratched his head and said, I don't know about this. Another said, Mary said, do whatever he said, do, and don't worry about the rest of it. Let's just do what she said and what he said. And so they began to fill the water pots, carried water in, poured them in. And remember, they held between 18 and 27 gallons. So I don't know how long it took them to fill the water pot. But he didn't say they just filled them. Said they filled them to the brim. They filled them all the way up, not just part of the way. They didn't get them half full and then say, that's enough. They just kept on pouring water in and kept on pouring water in and kept on pouring water in. Hallelujah. God stirred my heart and said, preacher, you maybe have a few years on you, but I want you to do something for me. I want you to fill the water pots. I want you to pour the water in. Give them the word. Amen. You know what stony-hearted people need? People that's not saved. They need the water poured in. Keep preaching the word. Keep giving the word. Get it up to the brim. give him the word. You preach and you've poured about a gallon in and nothing happens. And you preach again, pour another gallon or two in, nothing happens. And you look in, nothing happening. You look at them, still looks like stone water. By the way, he didn't say shine them up and take soap and water and wash them up. He didn't say just kind of make them shine. He said fill them up with water. Amen. He didn't say set them in a good, pretty place and make them look pretty and put some flowers in them. He said fill them up with water. He didn't say try to make them smile at you and look good at you. All that stuff. Fill them up with water. Hey, my job and your job is to get the word of God to those that do not know Jesus Christ and fill them up with it and just keep pouring it in. Get it up to the brim and keep pouring it in. Hey, hallelujah. And today, friend, if you're not saved, I'm trying to pour the water in. I'm trying to fill you up with the word. I want the word of God in you until you can't stand it. And no more can come in. It begins to run over. Hey, fill them up. And then Jesus said, draw out. And there they just put water in, but he said, draw out. At the right time, Jesus said, draw out. And when they did, they found out they had wine in there. Where did that miracle take place? When did it take place? I don't know. I believe it was when they began to dip in. I don't believe it took place until they began to dip because they acted in obedience. Had they not acted in obedience, it never would have happened anyhow. And so you today, you hearing the word of God. I'm trying to fill you up with the word of God and trying to invite you to Jesus Christ. And why don't you just dip in? Won't you just dip in and find out there's really some joy there. There's really some living there. You see today, the devil will lie to you. He'll cheat you and rob you and take you to hell. But I'm glad God loves you and he makes a way for you to come to him by faith and ask God to save you. And that's dipping in it, as it were, by faith. And drawing out that joy of salvation. There's joy in salvation. You say, preacher, I'm saved, but my joy's not there. Won't you come and just dip in? Amen. Let's dip in and believe what God said and get some joy in your life and live for God. Amen. I say to you today, precious it is to have the joy of the Lord in your heart. They dipped in, they got wine out of it. Then they took it to the root of the feast, and he said, boy, this is the best wine yet. Why'd you save it the last? Look what happened, verse number 11. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. The disciples believed on him. That miracle by obeying the word of God. Just do what he said. Pour the water in. Pour the word in. Then dip in. God does a miracle. I can't save you. Nobody else can save you. But if you act on faith, Jesus will save you. See, preacher, I wish I knew what to do so I could know I had eternal life. Just break your will to the will of God. Make a step of faith. Step out and come and bow an old-fashioned altar. Just remember that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you'll come and trust Jesus, he'll save you. You that are going through those times, that joy is not there like it ought to be, come and let God save you. Not save you, but restore the joy. The joy. The joy. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege to endeavor to preach your word of God. Lord, we just want to pour the word in. And I pray folk will hear it. The Holy Ghost will do a work in their heart. Draw them to the place where they realize they're thirsty. They need that joy of the Lord. They need that today. I pray they'll come. In Jesus' name. Let's stand to our feet, please.